praying for me. He smiled and said, child, you're not alone, 'cause all God's children got to do.
Wrestling coverage on Thunder Country KIIC brought to you by Albia Brewing Company, by American Family Insurance, Phil Griffin, by Benton Place Apartments, and Boyle & Henderson, PC. Also by Sheraton Vision Center, Dan and Pat Johnson, by Eastern Iowa Tire, and Goffin Nash, Napa Auto Parts, by Harold Trailer Sales, and Jody McCoy, Hometown Realty, by the Monroe County Hospital and Clinics, and by Motor Inn of Knoxville, by People State Bank, Sinclair Tractor, Summers Car Credit, United Country Hawkeye Farm Management and Real Estate, by Wirtjes Concrete and your Albia Hy-Vee, by Belzer Equipment and Bluff Creek Archery, also by Double D Repair, First Iowa State Bank, GNP Insurance, Jim and Charlie's Affiliated Foods, Crazy Metal Art, McGriff's of Fremont and New Sharon, by Morton Buildings, Penn Central Mall, by Quality Ag, Southern Iowa Technologies, Tharp Funeral Home, William Penn University, and Zapital Spraying Service.
This is live state wrestling action on Thunder Country, KIIC.
We are live from Wells Fargo Arena. Joe Sinclair here with Kevin Cochran, the coach. Got Joe Millage on the
Morning.
He's on the Morton mic, yeah. The Morton Buildings mic. We also got Russ Oker down there.
Russ is on the GNP Insurance mic today. GNP Insurance has Russ's mic. Russ, are you down there? He's gonna turn it on. There you go.
I'm down here at the edge of the mat getting ready to go, and we're looking forward to it. Caden Kozarich is going to be right out of the chute on at 8 for Centerville.
It is going to be a great day of wrestling, folks. Thanks for joining us here on 96.7 KIIC. We've got the live stream going for you on KIICradio.com. It is the 2018 Iowa High School Wrestling Championships. Tonight, a champion will be crowned. But here this morning, we're going to work our way through our placement matches, and then we will have the medals round to conclude our session here today, this morning.
That's right, Joe. This is the consolation semifinals. Caden Kozarich, he's going to be up on mat number 8, taking on Jalen Schropp of Williamsburg, 50-3 on the year. And they will be our feature match right now, but we will also have Brock Beck. He's going to go against Kane Lunesman, another freshman, 49-2. And this round determines on who is going to wrestle for 3rd and 4th and who is going to wrestle for 5th and 6th. And we are getting ready as they introduce the person that's going to sing the national anthem.
And we will bring the national anthem here for you, folks. We've done it all of the sessions so far. This is the 7th session of 8 here at the Wells Fargo Arena. And very, very, very good singers that they've had performing our nation's song, the national anthem, here at Wells Fargo Arena for the 2018 Iowa High School Wrestling Championships. If you're just tuning in, listening for that classic country sound, you're going to have wrestling this morning. This session will go until 2:15. Here's our anthem. I think they might be saving the best for last. They just keep on getting better, Kevin.
Yep, and we are underway here at Wells Fargo Arena on Saturday of the Iowa High School State Wrestling Championships. We are going to bring you the Class 2A Consolation Semifinals, followed up by 3A and then the 1A rounds. And then the medal round is going to be coming up. But we're going to have Caden Kozarich right here on mat number 8. He is checking in at the table. We'll have Brock Beck on mat number 4. Also going at this time frame, and like I said, this is the match that determines whether you go for 3rd and 4th or 5th and 6th. Also a big round for team points. Any team that is contending for a title or in that 2nd and 3rd place, this is a good opportunity to get bonus points and add to that team total.
All right, Caden Kozarich out on the mat, shakes his opponent's hand, and we are underway. Kozarich has a black singlet on today, not silver.
Yeah, but he's got black with the C on the side, and
he's working right now on a collar tie, drops down to a knee. He's got a heavily bandaged left knee here today. I don't remember that from yesterday, Kevin.
No, but I think these guys have wrestled once before this year. I know they wrestled in a dual meet, but I'd have to pull it up on Track Wrestling to be exact.
Well, they're off the mat, out of bounds, with 32 seconds gone in the period. Dial this up here. We've got Caden Kozarich. Centerville Big Reds. 126-pounder out there on the mat. That's Schropp from Williamsburg. He's in on a single leg. Elevates that single leg. Kozarich reaches over the back, grabs the ankle. Schropp is in there deep on that single leg, Kevin.
He does have a deep. Actually, Caden did a nice job because I thought he was going to be up high enough where Schropp was going to get the takedown.
Stalemate.
Stalemate it back to the center.
All right, we get back on the center at our neutral position. Wrestlers on their feet. Hey, folks, want to thank all the great sponsors, including Southern Iowa Technologies. They are the sponsors for our Southern Iowa Technology text line. That's 641-799-1437. We are live from Wells Fargo Arena with Caden Kozarich at 126 pounds, wrestling here, trying to ascend higher onto the podium. He is assured of a no worse than a 6th place medal. Going to try to be going for those 3rd place points here. Caden Kozarich on his feet against Schropp from Williamsburg. So it's Billy Town against Centerville here at Wells Fargo Arena. And I think our big 96.7 KIIC footprint gets right up to Billytown. And the Williamsburg guys, they probably wouldn't like it being called Billytown. But I'm sure that the folks in North English, where I know our big old footprint lands, folks in North English and South English, we're rooting for our Centerville Big Red against the Billytown Kid Schropp.
All right, we've come to the conclusion of period number one.
No score.
Kozarich gets the choice, and I believe he's going to go down, which is so important here, Joe. You want to be the first one to score a point. So if it's ever 0-0, my philosophy as a former coach is that you never want to defer your choice. You want to get your choice, go down, try to get up and out, and get that first point.
That is absolutely right. And he is in the down position, covered by Schropp from Williamsburg.
Schropp's riding him tough. He's had that leg in. Kozarich not responding. There. Now he comes up to his feet.
Get his
and
separation.
Schropp's got to take him back down to the mat.
That was almost stalling on Schropp. Almost.
And they go out of bounds again. Y'all, so far, I've liked Caden's aggressiveness in this whole tournament so far. I think he has actually stepped it up a notch, and I like what I'm going to see here in the first, watch the first move. First, immediate
sit out right there.
Explosive first move.
And he got his arm cleared on that sit out, and that gives him a chance for the stand up. And now he's standing up in the middle of the mat. But a good job on mat return there by Schropp. But another stand up by Caden, and now Caden's going to get loose. He is loose. That's the one point that he needed to get the lid off the scoring jar. And we go off the mat out of bounds. 1-0. Kozarich on top.
Yep, nice job there of hand control. And then you got to make sure that you turn and face your opponent to make sure you get your one. And now we're on our feet, 1-0 in favor of Kozarich. Neither wrestler has been able to take the other opponent down. Had a couple of flurries on the edges of the mat. The winner of this is going to take on either Cole Hansen or Philip Eady. The winner of that match.
Well, right now, they're on their feet at the center of the mat. Neither wrestler able to score a takedown, but Caden Kozarich here in the second period was able to get that escape. He's working a little hand down now. Got two on one on that hand, trying to get control of Schropp. Schropp works this nice little ankle pick. Good sprawl back by Kozarich. Kozarich now with a very low stance. Schropp tries to come in over the top with front headlock. Now there's separation with 6 seconds to go. Kozarich back down on one knee. Schropp over the top. And we're going to go out of the second period with the score 1-0. It is Caden Kozarich on top, and he will be covering Schropp from Williamsburg to start this period.
We've got Go Caden from the Cosgroves on the text hotline. Joe, I don't know if you witnessed what just happened there. Joe Millage brought us these bracket updates.
Yes.
That we can get every time. And then he had the nerve to open it up, and he tried telling me, hey, this is this side over here is the winners. This is the winner's side. And then this is the side over here that we're wrestling right now.
That's pretty good. Like he didn't know. Okay, we had a stand-up escaped by Schropp, and a nice duck under on a takedown attempt try there by Kozarich, but it did not work. So we will go back to the center of the mat, tied 1-1, just underway, first period.
I know you guys had a late night last night. I'm trying to help.
Guys, Coach Johnson really wanted to fling the mat there just a moment ago, but he didn't get the call.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that fleeing the mat right there, but we definitely have the aggressor here from Centerville. Caden Kozarich is very much putting the pressure on right now. Schropp from Williamsburg. Shot in there on a nice little single leg sprawl back by Schropp. Now there's separation. Kozarich down on one knee. Gets back up. Now he's on that.
We got 1 minute to go here, and we are dog knotted 1-1. Like I said, neither wrestler been able to get a takedown this entire turn or entire match.
And I think one of the coaches for. Get my binoculars on there.
Guys, they just warned Schropp for stalling. I don't know if you saw that or not, but he has been warned now for stalling.
Yeah, and then I think the referee said, Williamsburg coach, get back in your chair over there because I'm not going to argue about this with you.
Yeah, he pointed right at him. He sat right down, but he's up now.
Which is going to force some action here in the last 25 seconds of the third period. A takedown is going to win it at this point, Joe. We need to have something happen, or Caden needs to keep the pressure on.
He took a bad shot right there, and he's off the mat out of bounds. He took a bad shot right there.
He did.
A little bit too far, and a nice job putting pressure on a bad shot by Schropp, and very, very fortunate that Kozarich didn't get taken down there because they were off the mat out of bounds on an ill-advised shot by Kozarich. But he is definitely bringing the pressure here in the final 10 seconds. He might be a little bit more careful. All right.
Well, at this point, I think you just let it go into overtime and give yourself a full minute. Well, here.
With Kozarich. No time. He gets it. With no time.
Oh, hold on. Let's see what they call
here. Okay, Kozarich did a duck under Kelly. Kozarich did a duck under Kelly.
They gave him the two, guys.
He got the two.
He got the two as time expired. I mean,
There
was not a hundredth of a second left on that clock. And the Williamsburg coaching staff is upset about it. They're coming over to they're going to go back down to the tunnel. Great job, Caden Kozarich, on the last second takedown. He just hit that duck under Kelly, whipped him right. He actually would have had back points if there had been 5 seconds left instead of just the time expired.
Caden Kozarich is going to be going for third and fourth place. Big match for him because I do believe he lost to that wrestler earlier in the year.
Well, both those two wrestlers are just sophomores, and that might be some fun going forward, folks. Remember that name, Schropp from Williamsburg. I think Caden Kozarich is going to have a chance to wrestle him again sometime down the road.
Now we're just trying to get an update here on some of these other mats. I believe Brock Beck went down to Kane Loonsman, so Brock Beck will be going for fifth and sixth.
Hey, guys, I've got Caden Kozarich down here fresh off his big win. Caden, that's like hitting a last-second shot. Time was expiring, and you got the 2 points. Talk to me about that move right at the end.
I knew that shot was going to come. I've been hitting that drag all week, so I had confidence in that shot.
Well, your shot right before that almost got you in trouble, but you did a great job of defending it off, and then you come out and get him. That was the only takedown of the match. Talk to me about it. Both you guys had trouble getting any takedowns.
Yeah, we wrestled each other once this year, so we kind of had an idea on what we were going to do, and who wanted it more at the end.
Well, you're going to wrestle for third place at the state tournament, so tell me what happens between now and the next match for you.
I'm probably going to just go rest a little bit. It's been a long week, so just get ready for that last match.
All right, man, you've earned it. Good job. Caden Kozrich gets the win right at the buzzer, guys. Gets the takedown, wins 3-1. He'll wrestle for third place later today.
All right, we've got Gabe Ripke out here on the mat right now for Sheridan. He is up against Jack West from Winterset, and Ripke with the first period takedown has the lead 2-0, and he is going to start the second period in the down position, bust out of there with an escape. Just a nice, solid stand-up, got hand control, got separation from Jack West. So it's a 3-0 lead for Gabe Ripke for Sheraton. Wrestlers are on their feet here, just underway in the second period. Ripke now with a front headlock.
Hey, we've got Colby Toole of PCM, the freshman, on mat number 2, going against Matthew Doyle of Independence. And they are in the first period with a 0-0 score. I'm sorry, second period. With
all
the
0-0 right.
score.
All right, we've got Gabe Ripke now in a front headlock situation against Jack West from Winterset. And you can hear those Sheraton cheerleaders cheering on their very own Gabe Ripke. He gets back to the center of the mat. Girls are telling him, go, go, fight, fight. And there's a nice single leg shot in there by Ripke. He gets around behind, gets control for the 2-point takedown, makes the score 5-0 for this Sheraton Charger. Gabe Ripke here at 132 pounds. Going to try to climb up there and have a third place match here at Wells Fargo Arena in the 2018 Iowa High School Wrestling Championships. Ripke down there trying to work an outside cradle. Want to make sure that we thank the fine folks at Sheraton Vision Center for helping us bring this match to you, as the blood timeout is going to happen here. Jack West has got a little bit of blood coming out of his nose, so they're going to work on him, and as they work on him, we will tell you that we want to thank Morton Buildings. A strong building starts with a strong foundation. Visit MortonBuildings.com to find out about their exclusive Morton Foundation system, which uses concrete for the strongest building yet. Morton Buildings, standing the test of time. And we've got Russ Oker down in the tunnel on the Morton Buildings mic. No, he's on the GMP mic. We got Joe Millage on the Morton Buildings mic. So we got two mobile microphones here in Wells Fargo Arena. This is technology at its finest. We have everything that you need to bring a great broadcast to your home, to your living room, to your car, anywhere you want to go on the World Wide Web with a Thunderbolt app.
Minus that dang printer.
Except a printer.
That we'll get
right.
that next year.
Yep, we'll get a printer next year. All right, we got blood times being cut, and it'll be Jack West getting set from Winterset. In the center of the mat, he's set. Ripke for Sheraton covers. And at 132 pounds with 32 seconds left in the second period, Ripke's going to try to work a pinning combination here from the top. He's on the hips, trying to work a tilt right now. He's got a deep waist ride in on the left-hand side, trying to work that tilt. Still on the hips. he's got West's arm pinned under him. He's got 2-on-1, trying to work a tilt right now. The cradle might be there for him. His head is just a little bit closer to his knee than I'd be comfortable with on it as a down wrestler. But West is just doing nothing there, fishing on the bottom. And it'll go to the third and final period, 5-0. Ripke leads here in this match to try to get to the third and fourth place match. The winner of this will go to third and fourth. The loser will be competing for fifth and sixth place points.
Here we have Colby Toole of PCM in a 0-0 dogfight here against Matthew Doyle of Independence. And as they start the third period, Toole had his choice and he goes down, but nobody's been able to get away from each other. Nobody's been able to get a takedown here. And so we're going to see what can happen here in the next minute and 37 seconds. If Toole can find a way to get out, he will take the lead. But a 0-0 score into the third period.
Blood time here.
And we got more blood time on mat number 7, where Gabe Ripke enjoys a 5-0 lead. There are 4 minutes and 27 seconds of blood time left. And, folks, if you're just tuning in back when Kevin and I were wrestling in the 80s, they didn't worry about blood on the mat. Blood-borne diseases weren't quite so dangerous as they are today.
They weren't born yet.
Yeah, these kids weren't born yet. But anyway, these blood-borne diseases are a serious issue. So whenever there's blood on the mat, they clean it up with a disinfectant. The blood that's on the wrestler that is not bleeding gets cleaned off with some type of a chlorine or acid-based disinfectant to kill any blood-borne diseases that might be there. And then the wrestler that is bleeding has got 5 minutes in a match of what they call blood time, and he can be attended to by professionals or his coaches to get the bleeding stopped and patched up. So if he's bleeding from a cut, they'll put a patch on it, a Band-Aid. If he's bleeding from his nose, which is the usual case, they'll put a plug up his nose. So right now we're back to live wrestling. There's your blood timeout update. That is the, we'll call that the, who should we let be the sponsor for blood timeouts? You know, we should have an official blood timeout sponsor. I'm going to think about that one.
If you Monroe County Hospital.
Yeah, that's the Monroe County blood timeout break right there. So we've got live wrestling about ready to start again. It'll be Rupke covering West.
Hey, Colby Toole over here has taken the lead. He did get the escape, and he leads 1-0. We have 10 seconds left. He's in on a shot. Matthew Doyle trying to do a throw by and get a takedown, but as the clock ticks down, we're down to 2 seconds. One, Colby Toole is going to be going for third and fourth place for PCM as he defeats Matthew Doyle of Independence.
All right, well, we've got live wrestling now at 132 pounds. Rupke is covering West and trying to work a tilt combination. West has had no answer for Gabe Rupke here in this placement match. It has been all Rupke from Sheraton. Now Rupke riding a parallel. Right now, going to try to tilt. He's got the tilt working. Just can't quite get him pulled past parallel. But there he is past parallel, but it's just a one count. And West is flopping like a fish over here on mat number 7 for Winterset. Gabe Rupke is putting the thrashing on him with only 7 seconds to go. It'll be a skunking 5-0 for Rupke, and he's trying to work ahead in the hole as time expires. He wins 5-0. He'll go for third place points for his Sheraton Charger squad. Congratulations, Gabe Rupke. All right. Coming up now, see if I can get my system to work here. I'm going to have you fix this up for me there, Cochran. What do I need to do
okay.
on this?
Well, here, I've got to. I know what I need to do. So.
All right, we are.
You keep talking, Joe.
Hey, that's something.
If you could do that.
That's something that I'm not getting paid to do. We are total amateur status here. We got the professionals down on the mobile mics. We got Russ Oker and Joe Millage on the respective Morton Buildings and GNP Insurance mics. We're giving you the. Hey, we're going to have Gabe Rupke, I think. Go ahead,
yeah,
Russ.
Guys, I'm down here with Gabe Rupke. Gabe, you dominated that match 5-0. You're in control from the get-go. Talk to me about the game plan going in.
Just where they're controlling them, get them down, ride them, work for a turn, just dominate.
All right, so you're going to go for third place, man. So what happens now between now and the next match for you?
Just get prepared, just like the last match. Got to go out there and dominate.
All right, man. Great job. Congratulations, and good luck on your third place match. Gabe Rupke coming to wrestle for third place, guys, from Sheraton, Iowa.
Yeah, and Russ over here in the tunnel on the Morton Building, Mike. I've got Jamie. And of course, Che Wood, the new coaches here for the Sheraton Chargers. Jamie, clearly the aggressor here today was Gabe Rupke.
Yeah, Gabe's been pretty hungry, so I'm glad to see him open it up and on his last trip here up here. And I'm not going to get too much into his plan as whatever, but he's pretty focused right now. So I'm going to let Gabe do his deal and. Gabe's always done it his way throughout his career and even throughout this year. So we're just going to keep rolling with that. So
very good, Jamie Cochran. And I've got Che Wood here. And, of course, a lot of listeners know all about Gary Wood, your dad, and no stranger to wrestling here at Wells Fargo Arena. It's been a good year for Charger wrestling, even just with Gabe making it here into the final medals round. But this has been a good year for you guys, something to build on.
We've...
we've actually had a really good season. Gabe and Gabe obviously has been, but Taylor Good, Adrian Hill, you know, we had four district qualifiers, and we had a really tough district. We've actually been watching some of the district other kids out of, that qualified our district. Quite a few finalists. We've got quite a few kids that are all gonna, I think almost every weight is placing here at the state tournament, which just shows how darn tough our district was. But Gabe is dialed in. He's wanting to finish out the day really well, which we're super proud of. I've been with him for 4 years, and love to see him go out with the consolation winner. So yeah, that'd be good.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for talking with us, Mr. Wood, and we'll send it back up to the booth. But certainly, Charger Wrestling in a good position to get started here for next year. I know they're going to be excited, guys, to get started from the GMP Insurance and Morton Building Wireless 1 and 2 down here in the tunnel. We'll throw it back upstairs.
Very good interview there. Thank you very much, Joe. And his dad, Glenwood, also was mentioned in the biography for the Hall of Fame inductee from Centerville.
His uncle.
His uncle. Glenn is... His uncle.
Jay's uncle.
Gotcha.
But Gary's dad was the first of the 20 state champions from Centerville.
That is impressive. That is impressive. It was all Centerville all the time yesterday, folks, up here at the Wells Fargo Arena, if you were living in Kevin Cochran's mind. And right now, we are working our way through our 182-170-pound matches. Don't have a particular match of interest to bring you right now from our local area, but we got a good one going up right now between Ballard's Ben Lee at 182 pounds. He's out there against Owen Grover from Beckman Catholic. That's a 1-0 score, and that's going almost into the third period. Also, a tight match right now in the second period. There is no score between Thomas Bentley from Red Oak and Hunter Maitland from Applington, I believe that's Applington-Parkersburg. Yep, Applington-Parkersburg, Guthrie Center. That is also the 182-pound match for climbing on the medal stand.
Hey, here's a match that, as we brought some of these others, we probably missed. Wes Cummins of PCM got the fall over Zach Williams of Osage in 2 minutes and 42 seconds. So Wes Cummins will be going for third and fourth as well, along with Colby Toole.
All right, those matches will come to you this afternoon, folks. All the medal matches will be after the noon hour here. But we are going to be with you here. This session started at 10. We'll get over at 2:15 today is the schedule. And I believe that's probably about when this will wrap up. We got the Class 2A competitors out here right now for the placements. And they will be followed up quickly by 3A, then 1A. And then we will go into the medals matches. And those medals matches... Kevin, refresh my memory. Will they cut the mats down from 8 to 6, or they keep them up with 8 this year?
They'll keep them up to 8 until they get through the final part of the medal round, and then they'll break everything down to the 3 mats
for the finals tonight. And the finals tonight are going to come to you live here on 96.7. We will bring you all the action tonight. It will be 3 mats at 5:45. So 5:45, we will be back here on the air. There will be the grand parade. All of the competitors here are invited at the 2018 Iowa High School Wrestling Championships. They will march around the 3 mats and be cheered by a sold-out crowd. And the grand marshal this year, I'll look up who our grand marshal is this year. Usually it's somebody that's done something very, very impressive to become the grand marshal. And I'll probably look that up on a break. Right now, we are looking for the 3A wrestlers to come out, and that'll be in just a moment. I want to thank everybody at Sinclair Tractor. They are our sponsors for the Sinclair Tractor broadcast booth here in Ottumwa. They've got a good team down there that includes my boy Hugh. So, Hugh, I hope you're listening in on 96.7. If you guys have that on in the store, I'm sure that you will. So, all right, we're winding down through these 285-pound matches, and we're getting ready for the little guys from Class 3A to come out. And we are going to have some 3A wrestlers come out. Right now it's going to be 106-pounder from, looks like, Iowa City High, Ethan Wood Finley. He's a sophomore with a 14-5 record, going up against Devin Harmison from Southeast Polk. And Kevin, Southeast Polk, you know, traditionally a perennial power, but they're going to score a lot of points up here at this tournament in Class 3A, but they're not going to be the champion.
No, they're not going to be the champion, but they can still find a way to get in that top three, I believe. It's going to be a challenge for anybody to knock off Fort Dodge, and I think if we look at team results right now, we can almost declare the winners in the majority of the classes.
Yeah, Fort Dodge is definitely going to run away with 3A. They have just dominated. They brought 13 wrestlers to this tournament. Think about that, folks. There are 14 weight classes, and Fort Dodge was tough enough to have 13 of the top wrestlers in the Class 3A to bring it in.
Well, as soon as it loads here, I will give you an update. The wireless is not working that well, but Fort Dodge should handily win Class 3A, I believe, Duke Wallert. And I'll give you some 2A updates here.
All right. We're going to have Brendan Lunsford come out on the mat here for Fairfield. Lunsford is going to be going up against Tyler Linderbaum from Solon. And these two big heavyweight wrestlers are going to take the mat. And we're underway at 285 pounds. Lunsford from Fairfield, Linderbaum from Solon. And the wrestlers are doing what 285-pounders do. They have a 570-pound dance. But there's a nice bear hug by Lunsford at the edge of the mat, and he gets the two. A two-point takedown for Lunsford at the edge of the mat on a bear hug move. So a nice job there, Lunsford, bringing the pressure on in the first period. He gets that first period takedown, and he's going to try to work for more. He's trying to work a half Nelson, working it near the edge of the mat. Lunsford, pretty athletic, moves pretty well for a big man. He's trying to work his way. He's on top now, covering Tyler Linderbaum from Solon. He had a bear hug takedown, just kind of a shucked underneath of him, got him bear hugged. Pretty good sit out right now for Linderbaum, but a nice job by Lunsford from Fairfield to follow. And now Linderbaum's showing a little bit of speed here, Kevin. He's had a couple of pretty good switches. A nice job by Lunsford from Fairfield following around behind. He's still covering him.
You know, you get up to these big boys like this with Lunsford, that, and the majority of those of these guys are going to go on to college and play football somewhere due to their size. But it is amazing to see how well they move and how they can stay in such good position. You know, sometimes it's about like watching a 126-pound wrestler out there, only he's 226.
It's fun watching these fast-moving big boys. So we'll conclude the first period with score 2-0. Lunsford from Fairfield will be ahead. He selects down to start the second period. So he is covered by Linderbaum from Solon. So Lunsford tries to work a stand-up. Linderbaum puts that funky leg in, breaks down. Brendan Lunsford. Fairfield, very storied program. There was one Kerensky boy, I believe, was a state champion for Fairfield, and his mother,
Adam Kerensky,
yep. His mother, Rose Pugh, graduated from Albee High School in 1982. She was a year ahead of me, I remember, and her sister, Erin, was in my grade, and I lost track of those girls. I don't know if they're still around Fairfield or Southern Iowa, but hey, shout out to Fairfield and all those folks listening in Jefferson County, Wapello County. We reach all the way down into Van Buren County, zoom up, catch Keokuk and Washington. And oh, a nice sit out switch by Lunsford. So, Jefferson County crowd is going to be happy about that. That's an escape for Lunsford. He is now ahead 3-0 with a minute and 20 seconds left in this second period. Good job here by Lunsford, trying to work another bear hug. He's got the double underhook, but good job there by Linderbaum. He remembered that bear hug and was able to back up and get off the mat out of bounds, and we'll have a restart at the center of the mat. And I couldn't tell if he got warned for stalling
there.
Yeah,
he did.
It wasn't a hand way up in the air by the official saying, you are stalling, but he kind of pointed it at him and said, you are stalling. So it's a stall call against Solon's Tyler Linderbaum. So the pressure, bringing it on here for Brendan Lunsford from Fairfield, giving giving the Solon wrestler the warning.
Yeah. Guys, Russ Oker has ordered a pizza for the booth up there. If you just make sure not to eat it before he gets back up there.
You might be a little too late on that, J-Mill. He might be here already.
It's not the pizza I'm worried about.
We've got Brendan Lunsford on his feet now, and he has got the lead. He's ahead 3-0. He got an escape here in the second period. He had a takedown on a bear hug in the first period in the early going, and looks like he's just going to be content to pummel with Linderbaum here. And Lunsford will go if he can get through these final 5 seconds in the second period. There's a shot in there by Linderbaum that time. And we will go to the third and final period. The score will be 3-0. And you know what I've done here, folks? I have conflated Fairfield with Solon. They have the exact same colors, exact same singlets. And I got a good look at them there when they were getting reset. And we've got, right now it is, it's Linderbaum leading 3-0. Linderbaum is leading Lunsford 3-0. All this action that we've been bringing you, it was Linderbaum bringing the action. Lunsford from Fairfield. And Kevin, look through there with the binoculars. They're the exact same singlet.
They is really, really, really close. It is.
Well, in fact, you'd think that the orange would be Fairfield. It's not.
You've got the
black singlet with the orange trim, and it's not Fairfield.
Apologize to Fairfield. We need to root hard for Brendan Lunsford to get up off of his stomach because he's in the down position right now, being covered by his Solon opponent, Tyler Linderbaum. And I should have got my binoculars out a little earlier. But you'd think with those, but those are identical singlets. All right, Linderbaum is working ahead in the hole right now against Lunsford. And Lunsford going to have to, he gets a stall call against him, and that is a point four. That is a point four to Linderbaum. So 4-0. Linderbaum leads Lunsford. It's Solon on top of Fairfield in the third period with 40 seconds to go. Both these wrestlers are going to be medalists. Linderbaum is going to be going for third place points if he can continue his winning way here. And it'll be Brendan Lunsford going for fifth and sixth place points. And there's a nice Granby roll, but they're off the mat out of bounds by Lunsford. And these wrestlers are both cat quick. They are both cat quick. Lunsford gets set now on the restart. We have 26 ticks left on this third period clock at 285 pounds. Brendan Lunsford working hard on the bottom, trying to get up and get out. He's been unable to score in this match. It's been a lot of action, but not a score here yet for Brendan Lunsford.
And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, but the wrestlers we're seeing down here on the mats today would have had one loss. Is that right?
That would be exactly right.
So one loss and four wins get you the championship, if I'm not mistaken.
That is also correct. And if you go down on the consolation side, four wins will also get you your third place points as well. So we go through this final ticks of the clock, and at 285 pounds, it'll be Tyler Linderbaum from Solon on top of Brendan Lunsford. The score 4-0. 4-0 on that one. That was, I believe, the last 285-pound match here, the last 2A match, and we're moving right into Class 3A. Mat number four, we've got a stretched-out kid, Des Moines East, Brock Splain, and Caleb McCabe from North Scott. They're competing, and it looks to me like the kid from North Scott has got his opponent stretched out. Yep, it is the North Scott wrestler getting ready to execute a pin here. There's 16 seconds left. That's one thing about these lighter weights. They can get a real strong neck muscle and bridge off their backs, and it is a pin for North Scott there.
They're just wiry.
They are just wiry. That was me at one time. Now I need to get, you know, Russ, you're up here with us. You've got your Morton Buildings or GNP wireless mic. Getting up to the age here where it'd be nice if they'd be able to put in some greasable parts. You know, you hear about these people getting hip replacements, knee replacements. Would be nice to have a grease circle on the outside there that you could just give it a couple squirts and be able to move out a little easier.
I feel that about every morning, Joe. You just be able to maybe grease things up, oil them up, and go a little bit better. I think that's called working out and staying in shape. Maybe is what that is, and maybe a little more water and a little less coffee and Pepsi and whatever else a person partakes in.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the two drinking sports are bowling and golf, and I've heard people say, you know, I can play really good golf if I've just had three or four beers, but if I have five, it's you know, I can't maintain that. Did you know that the technology exists that you can dial in whatever blood alcohol content you want? Just instead of having an insulin pump for a diabetic, just put some Everclear in there. And if you want to dial it in there at 0.04 and your putting game is the very best at 0.04, dial it in.
How do you maintain that, though? How long does it last?
Well, it depends on how much Everclear you have in your insulin pump.
Can you dial it back? Because there's times I think that with Coach Cochran, it'd be nice to have a dial back button.
Well, I suppose you could. I don't know.
I'll tell you this, though. He golfs really well at all levels, and he golfs really poorly at all levels. So I don't know if he would know where to put the dial, because just when you think maybe he's not going to have a good day, he does. And just when you think he's going to have a good day, then he doesn't. So, but I think that's called being inconsistent. But he's a lot of fun. I appreciate his support of my family over the years. It's been nice.
He's the only guy I know that's had a hole-in-one in a round and couldn't break 100.
Well, I know one other guy. I was there when Billy Thomas down in Centerville on a golf trip one time had a hole-in-one, and I think he finished with a 116 on the round. That's pretty impressive. But
all right. Well, if you're tuning in right now on 96.7, looking for that classic country sound, you have run right square into the Iowa High School Wrestling Championships. This is the Class 3A placement round. These wrestlers are wrestling this morning for a chance at a medal, either third place or fifth place is what these wrestlers will be going for. The winners of each match will face each other at the respective weight classes in a third place medal match this afternoon, and the losers of these morning matches will face each other for a chance for the fifth place medal points. And we are live from Wells Fargo Arena, the 2018 Iowa High School Championships on 96.7. We've got the live stream going for you on KIICradio.com. And you can always take it anywhere with you on the Thunderbolt app. Download that to your portable device, your cell phone, and you can be in China, I think, and listen to this broadcast.
I'm just glad we're not on in the schools today, talking about sobriety apps and drinking sports.
Well, here's even the funnier thing. I missed taking my blood. Here's the point where we're talking. We've talked about our glasses. I forgot to take my blood pressure medicine yesterday, so I got it here this morning. And I grab it, and I just look around. I said, oh, there's a bottle of water right there. Well, unfortunately, I didn't realize it was smart water. That's so, how I took my blood pressure medicine this morning.
Well, you'll have that. But, hey, we've got great sponsors here bringing these broadcasts to you for Class 3A, 2A, 1A. Want to thank Phil Griffin Agency at American Family Insurance in Oskaloosa, a proud sponsor of this wrestling broadcast, along with Benson Place Apartments. It's tax time coming up, folks, and Boyle and Henderson PC are there for you and Albia to take care of all that paperwork and filing for you. And who can get along in Albia without Sheraton Valley Electric? They turn the power on for you. Thanks very much to Brian and all his team at Sheraton Valley Electric.
You know, Joe, you were talking about the app, and yesterday a classmate of mine who lives down in Arkansas now, Joe Appleman, sent me a text and said, where can I get the wrestling? And I told him KIICradio.com, and a few seconds later he sent back, hey, they got an app at the Google Play Store. That's pretty awesome. So Joe Appleman down in Arkansas has been following the wrestling on the Thunder Country app, and I got the app downloaded last night. We covered a ball game for the Pitch down there, the Seymour girls, who, by the way, are going to be in Albia on Monday night, clinking on Central Decatur, two teams that are 23-0 for the right to go to state. And we went out to the Mexican restaurant, and we're eating afterwards, Chad Kessler and I, and we had the app up, and we're listening to the Nick Martin match, and it's just awesome to be able to take that wherever you go. And I did comment, I was wondering if it's the, you know, if you use those binoculars all for wrestling, or if you're panning the crowd, or what you're doing. But I want to know who sponsors the Joe Sinclair binoculars, because I might want to get on that next year. That I love these things.
Well, hey, if you had the binoculars on down here in the tunnel, I've got Donna McKay with me right now. What is your job down here, Donna?
Well, I'm one of the executive directors for the ICCA, and we work with the IHSAA monitoring cheerleaders at state football, state basketball, and state wrestling.
You are here every year. I think we talked to you a couple years ago, Donna, and I think getting the cheerleaders out on the mats and off the mats is one big job.
Well, there's like 1,200 cheerleaders here because each school can bring six cheerleaders. So if they have one wrestler, they'll have six cheerleaders. So we have a map with arrows. They come down one way out of the stands. If they are on the odd mats, they go to the left. If they're on the even mats, they go to the right. And they just listen for their mat number and they go the shortest distance possible to the mat.
Unbelievable. It's like herding cats sometimes, I think. But you guys have some specific rules as well. I've noticed you out there coaching them. Tell us about, like, jewelry.
Okay, the National Federation, they write the rules books for all sport, high school sports, you know, basketball, wrestling, soccer, tennis, whatever. And there is one for spirit. And the rules in the spirit set no jewelry at all. And hair has to be secured back, fingernails cut. So we check that as they come through just to make sure they're complying because we really don't have referees for cheerleading.
Maybe we should. Maybe some guys up in the booth might want to be the referees for cheerleading, but what about tattoos? What if I had a big old tattoo on my arm? Is that okay?
Yep, if they don't monitor those, that's just something we don't deal with those.
Probably a good thing. Donna McKay and her team down here, and they are absolutely heads down, guys, most of the time in the tunnel, getting these 1,200 cheerleaders on and off. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Back up to you in the booth.
Hey, great job there, Joe, bringing us a little bit of the flavor of what it takes logistically to make this big event happen.
You know, ironically, when I was in high school, I put in to be the official for the cheerleaders, but I didn't get the job. I was turned down. Apparently, the cheerleaders voted against me, but I did put in for that job back in high school, but I didn't
get it. It was because of your nose ring.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, yeah.
Hey, we got a pretty good match going down here on mat number two for Norwalk. If you're listening in on 96.7, in Norwalk, your very own Carter Schmidt at 138 pounds is in a dogfight against Drevin Ross from Fort Dodge. And Fort Dodge has had a couple of speed bumps here in this placement round. They've lost a couple that I think they were thinking that they would win. And right now, in the third period, it's a 1-0 lead for Carter Schmidt from Norwalk over Ross from Fort Dodge. And we'll bring that mat to you here right now. There's 52 seconds left in the period. And here's a reversal for Schmidt. So Schmidt is going to take the lead now 3-0. And they go off the mat out of bounds, and we'll come back to the center of the mat and reset it with Schmidt from Norwalk, a 3-0 lead, covering Ross from Fort Dodge. Ross gets a quick stand-up here, and at the edge of the mat, Ross is loose, but oh, nice job dropping down on the leg by Schmidt. Right at the edge of the mat, Schmidt drops down and gets the leg of Drevin Ross from Fort Dodge and gets back behind him in control, and precious seconds are going off the clock, and that's good for Carter Schmidt with a 3-0 lead here. Southern Iowa boy from Norwalk taking care of the Fort Dodge Dodger. All right, we're off the mat now with 22 seconds to go. Ross comes back to the center of the mat. Gets set. Norwalk's Carter Schmidt covers. And another stand-up here for Ross. Dropping down on the leg again. And it is an escape. It's an escape for Ross. So Ross is out with 11 seconds to go, and he's got a front headlock in on Schmidt. And Schmidt a little bit out of position right here, and Ross can't do anything with that front headlock at the edge of the mat, and it will be too little too late for Ross, so Carter Schmidt gets the win 3-0.
All right, now up on mat three is going to be Joey Mitchell of Ottumwa trying to advance on to wrestle for third and fourth place.
Mitchell straps on the red leg band. He seems just calm, cool, and collected out there. Kevin, you coach him, but, you know, some of these wrestlers, they come out, and they're all hopped up and jumping around, and he just kind of loosey-goosey does his...
That's just the way he is. And, you know, he doesn't show a lot of emotion. He just goes out and gets the job done.
Well, he is out there on the mat here. Working for his Ottumwa Bulldogs. In now on a single leg. Good separation now. Zach Needham from Dallas Center Grimes is a sophomore, 38 wins against 15 losses on his season. Joey Mitchell, a senior, 32 wins against 6 losses. So he wants to have a strong finish to his career here and get out of this big old barn with third place points.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, he got 7th place last year. He's already done better, but at this point, man, you want to just finish as high as you can. Zach Needham of Dallas Center Grimes, his opponent. There's a lot of cheerleading going on down there.
Oh, yeah. Joe Millich is right there on the scene with the Matt Side Mike from Morton Buildings. And, Joe, great job there bringing that action to us. And we won't make you be too conspicuous down there with that Matt Side Mike. But right now, Needham gets a little duck hunter, gets behind, and gets control of the hips of Mitchell, and he gets him taken down. That's a 2-0 lead now for Needham. He had a nice duck hunter there. Just got around and got behind him, got on the hips. Mitchell gets right out with a sit-out escape, but it was a flurry of activity, and in the scramble comes out a 2-1 score now. Needham leading Mitchell here in the first period with 45 seconds remaining.
That should be 2 points right there. Look, he's got the inside leg. Well,
didn't quite
come around. I don't think he come around and cover the arm, but Mitchell about in on a takedown there.
He tried
a little flyby.
Tried a little double right there. Oh, now he's behind. Now that should be two. He's behind him.
That is two.
He gives him the two. So Joey Mitchell now leads 3-2. He's got the funky leg in on the left-hand side, trying to work an Oklahoma. He can't get him stretched out, though, and we are going to go. We got 4 seconds left in the period, and we are going to go to the second period. It's a 3-2 advantage for Atumwa's Joey Mitchell, and that was a really good front headlock to a funky leg takedown.
It was. It was a nice job by Joey. Like I said, I just like him in those positions. He stays in really good position most of the time and can score from a lot of different places, different areas. So he goes down, and he's cradled up again. But I'll be honest, yeah, it doesn't even make me nervous watching him get put in the cradle.
Well, he keeps his head pretty close to his knee right there. Now he gets to stand up. And if nothing else, we're going to get a stall call against Needham. Yeah, Needham should be called for stalling right now. Now Needham tries to work a little half Nelson. I think Mitchell can get out the backside on this. If he can get his head out,
he's
gonna, it's going to be a two-point reversal.
He's coming up underneath that leg.
Oh, and he gets stuck.
He did get the Oklahoma in
there.
Yeah,
he got the Oklahoma in there. Now it's back points for Needham against Mitchell. And Mitchell just couldn't quite clear that leg. And it's a three-point near fall. Makes the score 5-3. And Mitchell gets scored upon from the bottom. So pretty good move there by Needham to work that arm in there for a lever and kept the leg in.
I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to get Mitchell over on that, but he did and had him tight, got a three count or five count for a three-point near fall.
Yeah, and it looked like Mitchell was going to be able to get out of that thing with a reversal, but he just, now Needham's a little bit too high, but he's got the leg in. So Needham working hard on top right now. He's been able to get a 1 minute and 20 second ride on Joey Mitchell here, and it's all been right at the center of the mat, folks. This has just been start the clock and don't stop.
And Mitchell needs got 30 seconds left here. And yeah, Joey's got to find a way to get up and out. We've talked about, these legs, and they put these legs in, and it just burns the clock. And that's what we're seeing here, Joe.
That is exactly what's happening. They're still right at the center of the mat. And like I said, it was start the clock and don't stop. And right now, Needham is putting on a ride on Joey Mitchell. And Mitchell trying to come out the backside here. He does have his base now. He's been broken down for much of this second period. Wonder if that three-point near fall didn't take a little bit of his gas out. But now we're going to have a stalemate with 4 seconds to go.
4 seconds, 5-3. It's going to be Needham's choice going into the third period once time expires here. And it'll be interesting to see if Needham either takes on his feet or chooses down. And I'm going to say I still like our chances here. Needham is going to go down. Joey Mitchell's a pretty tough rider. He likes to bar him up and put halves in and turn guys. So let's see what happens here. That three-point near fall is the difference in the match.
Sit out by Needham. Mitchell follows him right around. Now, tilt attempt here by Mitchell. Mitchell's just a little bit too high. Gets back on the hips with a deep waist ride now. Going to have to try to break Needham down. Needham really not doing anything right here. But Mitchell not going to get a stall call until he gets off the hips. Now, he's got him broken down with an arm bar on the right side. He puts two-on-one underneath the body. Now gets off that two-on-one. Tries to put a corkscrew right in here on the left side. Puts a leg in on the right. A little bit too high. Sit out attempt now by Needham. Mitchell follows and covers. Now he's got him broken down on the shoulders. Hooks the leg in the back. Mitchell on the top, trailing 5-3. It's a tumbler's Joey Mitchell at 182 pounds in a placement match, trying to go for the third place medal this afternoon. The winner of this one goes for third. The loser goes for fifth. And now, crossbody right in here by Mitchell. Is going to try a spladle. Good job there, taking it away by Needham. We're down to the final 50 seconds of this match in regulation. Two-point near fall, and Joey Mitchell could put this thing into sudden victory. I suppose, what do you think, about 20 seconds? You just cut him and try to go feet to back?
You know, I don't know. We're going to see what coach is telling him to do here before we get started. He's going to have to try to turn him. The thing is, if he turns him and can get him turned and get a five count for 3 points, he's going to win.
That's
all
right.
All he needs is a two count.
Well, I would like to see a stall call against Needham here at some point in time, but Joey's just not quite getting off the hips enough to get to make that happen. Now, right now, there's nothing Joey Mitchell can do against this wrestler. He's just all clamped up underneath.
He is clamped up, and he should be called.
He should be called. There is finally the stall call, but it comes with only 18 seconds to go. And now Joey Mitchell gets a chicken wing in, and now he's going to try a tilt. And he does get the tilt in, and he's going to get back. Couldn't quite get, got a one count, but not a two. We got 7 seconds to go. Mitchell working really, really hard on top, and his opponent just fishing his way out of this thing, and it's going to be a 5-4 score. Stall call at the end of the match makes the score 5-4. Joey Mitchell comes up that short, 5-4, your final. And, you know, if they made him wrestle at the first half of that third period, he would have been the winner, but he didn't make the kid wrestle in the first minute of the third period.
He just called it late.
Joey stayed on the hips and didn't get off the hips, and it's hard to call stalling on a kid when the guy on top isn't off the hips. So anyway, a 5-4 score. We're going to have Drake Leek from Norwalk competing against Isaac Bales from Glenwood at 220 pounds. Leek from Norwalk, 38-3 on his senior season, going up against another senior, Isaac Bales of Glenwood. That match is in the second period, and the score on it is 5-1 in favor of Bales. And now Bales gets a score here, and that makes the score 7-1. And now an escape for Leek makes it 7-2. So good competition down here for Norwalk. Norwalk wrestler out there going to start the third period. He takes down. Going to try to bust out of there. Get himself a escape. Narrow the gap to 7-3. And there he gets a stand-up. Stand-up for Leek against Bales from Glenwood. This is the Class 3A 220-pound match. We got a couple of 106-pounders coming out here for Class 1A, and it'll be Mason Dye up first. Mason Dye from Sigourney, Kyoto, will be taking on Brock Dietz from Nashua, Plainfield. So it'll be Dye for Sigourney, Kyoto, Dietz for Nashua, Plainfield, and I'll bring you that match live here. And right now we've got a nice takedown here. A quick little single leg, and I think he's going to get, yep, takedown, 2 points for Mason Dye. He's on top, 2-0. Puts the funky leg in on the right-hand side. He is riding Brock Dietz, just underway here, at 106 pounds. Funky leg, just good job there by Dietz. Dietz gets out of it, gets a escape. 2-1, your score now. And quickly, Mason Dye in on a double leg, comes clear out the backside underneath as they go off the mat. And does he give him the two? Yes, he gets the two-point takedown. You missed a really fun takedown there, Kevin. Mason Dye shot in on a double, got in so deep that he went clear through his Nashua Plainfield opponents, came out underneath like he was running underneath of him, like the Nashua kid did a jump, and he came out behind him and got control. It was a fun takedown to watch. And now Mason Dye leads by the score 4-1, and an escape by Dietz just to stand up. Looked like Dye just kind of cut him. And Dye likes being on his feet against this kid. It's 4-2. He's in on a Kelly now and goes feet to back. But a good job by Dietz of getting back to his stomach. So the score will be 6-2. All this happening in the first period for you, folks.
Well, speaking of Sigourney, we got text coming in that said, great coverage, guys. He said, on your question last night about the craziest mascot, he said the nicknames, the Waters Meet Michigan Nimrods. That's from Coach Hahn. The Waters Meet Michigan Nimrods.
I'll be darned. I think back in the old days, back in the 40s or 50s, wasn't a Nimrod somebody that was like a space explorer or something? I'll have to Google that up. Okay, we're going to go to the second period now, and it will be Mason Dye on top at 106 pounds by the score of 6-2. And he will start the period in the down position, gets a stand-up, and works that stand-up, but they go off the mat, out of bounds, and we'll come back and reset it. And I'm going to keep real close watch on because I think we got some more 1A matches coming up here that we're going to want to bring you for sure.
This one brought to you by Copeland Auto Body.
Yeah, this is Copeland Auto Body's match here, and they're proud sponsors of Sigourney and Kyoto and Pekin Wrestling. Copeland Auto Body is Southern Iowa's state-of-the-art provider of advanced collision repair. And right now, we got a stand-up escape for Sigourney Kyoto's Mason Dye. Makes the score 7-2. Mason Dye really in control of this match. He's been dominant on his feet. He hits an ankle pick right now. Goes into an outside cradle attempt. Good job there by Dietz by fighting that off. But it's 8-2 now for Mason Dye for Sigourney Kyoto. He is on top by the score of 8-2. Now he's working a deep waist ride on the left-hand side. Works that deep waist on the left side. Bars the arm on the right. A minute left in the second period. The score now 9-2. An escape and a takedown here for Mason Dye. And a good job here on a stand-up switch by Nashua Plainfield. And Brock Dietz for Nashua Plainfield is in pretty good on a single leg after that stand-up. He hasn't gotten the escape point yet because he's still trying to turn it into a reversal. But there he is going to... Well, they still don't give him the escape, but there they will. It's an escape. 1 point makes it 9-3, and really like the job that Mason Dye has been doing on his feet here for the Sigourney Kyoto Savages.
It was quite a scramble. It was almost like they were dancing out there, the way going in them circles.
I tell you what, Mason Dye did a good job keeping his hips low and preventing Brock Dietz from Nashua getting the reversal. He did get out and got the escape, and now... Dye can work something there. He's got a front headlock in, going to try to turn it into a cradle on the outside. And really, Brock Dietz has no answer for Mason Dye on his feet. Mason Dye turns that front headlock into a double leg combination, just pushed his head into the mat, got underneath, turned it into a double leg, and took him down. And now he leads by 8-11-3 as we run out of clock in the second period. Mason Dye is dominating for your Sigourney Kyoto squad, 9-3. He's going to be going for third place points here for your Sigourney team. Great job. We're going to have his teammate Caleb Reeves coming out here in just a little bit. He'll be competing at 220 pounds for the Sigourney mob. Right there, we got to start this period with the Nashua kid in the down position.
He quickly gets the escape and takedown. Now it's 11-6.
11-6, 3 points Dye. There. So Dye on top, 11-6 on a good little bust. That could have been just a reversal, but he awarded the escape and then the takedown. So Mason Dye will get set in the middle of the mat. And with a minute 35 to go, we're back underway.
Just as the Class 3A is wrapping up, there's a couple of matches still going. But it looks like Fort Dodge is going to be your winner in the Class 3A team race. They have 128 points. Southeast Polk is in second with 121.5. And Waukee is in third with 119. Now, does that mean that they have it wrapped up? No. Waukee does have three guys in the finals, and it would be possible for them to catch him, but Fort Dodge has four guys in the finals, and they would have to lose all four of those matches in order for them not to bring home a title.
A stall call here against Mason Dye. He's got the 11-6 5-point lead here for Mason, and that's okay for him to get called for stalling right there. His opponent trying to work an outside cradle, and Dye just posting the opposite leg. He's got 39 seconds to go, so he is going to have to start wrestling here at some point, but they're right near the edge of the mat. And I will say this, Brock Dietz is burning up some energy out here. He is working very, very hard on top of Mason Dye, trying to get Mason Dye turned over. He's got a chicken wing in on the left-hand side right now, and Dye just posting the opposite leg. Dye gets called for stalling again, and that makes the score 7-11 now. So next stall call against Dye, and it'll be another point, so he needs to be careful. But with only 9 seconds to go, he's got a couple stall calls to give, and I think he'll get called for stalling one more time. And there it is, a stall call at the conclusion is another point, makes the score 11-7. So congratulations, Mason Dye. You will advance to the medal round. That was a two-point stall call there, makes the score actually 8-11.
Yeah, well, Mason says, you can push on me all you want. I'm not moving. I'm not getting up.
He did get up. His opponent from him.
If I get up, you may take me to my back. I'm staying right here.
Yeah, the kid from Nashville Plainfield, Brock Dietz, he just put his hands on his back, and he was laying on his stomach, and Mason Dye just lay there. He didn't get up, and then the kid from Nashville just totally backed up about 2 steps, and Mason Dye didn't move.
He's just kind of pushing him. And
he knew what the score was and how much time was left. He wasn't going anywhere. So that's what happens when you build yourself up a big lead. You can take that kind of liberty. Maybe he was resting for the next match. Who knows? All right.
Coffee break.
Thanks very much for Copeland, Steve and Holly Copeland. They got great customer service, and thanks for helping bring that match to us here on 96.7 KIIC in the live stream on KIICradio.com. We are in the Class 1A medal placement round. So the wrestlers that we call here this morning are going to be competing this afternoon, the winners for third place points, and the ones that aren't the winners for fifth place points. So,
hey guys, I'm down here on the GMP Insurance wireless mic with Mason Dye, fresh off the big win. Hey, you're going to be wrestling for third place. How's that feel?
Feels pretty good. The next kid's going to be tough, but I just got to get focused and get ready to go.
You got out to a big lead in that match, and then it looked like maybe just protected a little bit. Is that correct?
Yeah, I kind of fell off. I don't need to do that, but that's what I felt I had to do to win that match, and it worked.
Hey, it's all about moving on and moving up that ladder right now, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so what do you do the rest of the day to get mentally prepared, maybe get a little rest?
Just focus, eat something good, and just my mind right for my next match.
Are you having fun?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Mason Dye, guys, down here. He's going to be wrestling for third place for Sigourney Kyoto. Russ Oker on KIIC on the GNP wireless mic. Back to you guys.
Colin Schrader from Wapsie Valley Fairbanks going up against Nicholas Martin from Moravia. And 2 seconds into it, it was a really good shot in there by Schrader, and Nicholas Martin caught a little bit flat-footed, got bulldogged to his back, and it was a five-point move at the very beginning for Wapsie Valley's Colin Schrader against Nicholas Martin. So Martin now with the stand-up trying to get the escape. There's only 20 seconds gone in this match, and it's 5-0. All right, now we are off the mat, and no change. He didn't get the escape. So Martin will come back to the center of the mat. He'll get set. He wants to get this win against Colin Schrader from Wapsie Valley. He's got 40 wins against 8 losses on his senior season. Also senior Nicholas Martin, 41-9 on the season. Martin hits a sit-out switch here to start after the whistle. Good job by Schrader from Wapsie Valley following right around. Now Schrader trying to work some type of a pinning combination. He's way off the hips, looking to work a cradle on the inside. The outside. He's got the outside cradle locked up, Kevin, and if he can put him over, Nick Martin's in trouble right here. It is a tight, locked-up cradle, and he pushes it over, and Martin trying to hip off the mat, and that out-of-bounds circle was the friend of Nick Martin because it stopped the progress of Schrader, but Schrader still has that cradle locked up.
This is a rematch of round one. This is the first match that Nick Martin wrestled at the state tournament, and Nick Martin beat Schrader by a score of 7-5 in the first go-round, so this is a rematch.
Well, right now it's a 5-1 score as Martin is able to kick out of the cradle and get a stand-up, and we're going to have, looks like, blood timeout, either injury or blood or equipment, and it's blood. So it's blood of Schrader. So Schrader goes over and he gets attended to his bloody nose, catches a drink of water. Nick Martin over there with Coach Denny Whitlow going over some strategy. I'm sure he's surprised that he got Bulldog to his back in the first 5 seconds of this match for a big five-point move against Schrader. Schrader just, I don't know if that was his style to be a thrower, but he just kind of got in there on a single leg, and Martin was just a little bit flat-footed and got caught going backwards, and Schrader just bear-hugged him and took him right to his back, and actually pretty good job of Martin to get off his back as tight as Schrader had him chest-to-chest. Right now, we are on our feet with a 5-1 score, and the blood is cleaned up, and we're underway. There's a shot in there by Schrader. Good counter by Martin. Martin with an underhook now. Going to try to put a front headlock in on Schrader. Schrader trying to back up. Schrader puts the thumb into the shoulder of Martin. As time expires, we will go to the second period, 5-1. Schrader defers his choice. Martin will take down. He gets set. Schrader taking his time to cover. And now he does. And on the left-hand side, on the whistle, it's a sit-out by Martin. Martin sits out. Schrader trying to chin him back. Martin now stands up. Schrader on the hips. Has a mat return. Brings it right back to the mat with a big old bear hug. Got his hands unhooked just in time to avoid that locking hands penalty. And puts a chicken wing in on the left-hand side of Nick Martin. Martin is not broken down, but his head is on the mat. Schrader riding tough here on top. Nick Martin clammed up here, trying to get hand control. Clear that hand. And now another chicken wing in here by Schrader. And they're off the mat, out of bounds, with a minute 24 left in the second period. So pretty good ride being put on here also by Schrader from Wapsie Valley Fairbank on Martin from Moravia. Make sure we don't miss any other important matches for you here, folks. It is the Class 1A placement matches here. We are following this 145-pound contest where Nick Martin is wrestling. And Nick Martin hits a nifty little switch and gets a two-point reversal. The score now 5-3. So Nick Martin scoring off the bottom. He narrows the gap to 5-3. So it's within reach. It was a, if I remember the first round, it was a back-and-forth contest there, too.
Yeah, I mean, 7-5 final score of round one, and we're 5-3 now.
And we're just right at halfway through this match. We got a minute left in the second period, and Martin puts a crossbody ride in on Schrader. Schrader now gets to his base. Martin tries to bar the arm on the opposite side with a crossbody ride. He's got his arm pinned behind his back. Looks like he's going to try a guillotine. And this is one that'll work. If he can get him stretched out, he's got that guillotine. But he's got to make sure he gets him stretched out first so he doesn't get potentially dangerous. And now he gets a little bit out of position, loses the leg. And it's chances for Schrader to get a two-point reversal.
But he's got a headlock.
Oh, he's got a headlock. But Schrader rolls right through the headlock. But Martin comes back over. He's on top, but he's still too high. And Schrader trying to come out the back. Wow, that was a back-and-forth scramble. Looked like it was going to be a headlock back points for Martin. Schrader rolled right through it. Looked like it could be a reversal and back points for Schrader. And Martin rolled right through that. And now Schrader coming out the back. And it's still Martin in control, but Schrader gets the reversal. Just a little bit too high there for Nick Martin. Now he trails by the score of 7-3.
Yeah, it was quite the scramble there. And like I said, it could have went either way of somebody going to get back points. And nobody gets back points. But Martin does give up the takedown. Only about 7 seconds left on the clock when he got reversed. It'd been nice to maybe hang on and go into this third period 5-3, but it's 7-3. Nick Martin down by 4.
Well, they're going to start on their feet, so let's see if Nick Martin can execute some type of a throw, a hip toss, a headlock. I love that Olympic headlock at the end of the match at 145 pounds, because a lot of times there'll be three rolls before they stop, and sometimes four.
Is this the match where did Nick have to... Or was that the other one? We've had so many matches. I can't remember if he come from behind to win.
I don't know, but Nick Martin is out there fighting for the chance to go for third place points. He trails by 4 in the third period. There's a minute and a half left on the clock. Moravia Mohawk, Nick Martin, out here competing. Want to thank all of our fine sponsors, including Community First Credit Union, Goff & Nash Auto Parts, and we are on our feet. And there's a nice duck under takedown by Schrader, and Schrader extends his lead to 9-3 with that takedown. And he's going to put Martin on his back with this move. It's going to be a near fall. There's a 3-5 count. It's going to be a 3-point near fall. Makes the score 12-3. And let's see if Nick Martin can kick out of this. He does. Martin is out now, but he trails by the score 12-3. And there is less than a minute remaining. 55 ticks left on the clock. Nick Martin is broken down on his stomach. And Schrader definitely showing some improvement from the first round here, because with that big five-point move there, going with a five-point move in the very first period, that's 10 points of his 12. And that's you get two five-point moves against you, it's tough to win up here at Wells Fargo.
That's a fact.
Yep. It's tough to win anywhere with 2 5-point moves against you. I've been in on a few. All right, right now we got to sit out by Martin. He's trying to get separation. He needs to pin his Wapsie Valley opponent to advance, because he is down with less than 30 seconds to go by 9 points. He's got to get out. He's got to get out, hit a side roll, hit a stand-up Granby, just anything crazy here. But with only 15 seconds to go, Schrader is putting the hammer on Martin and not letting him off of his stomach. Martin now gets off his stomach, tries to sit out, and a good job there by Schrader. Schrader's going to get warned for stalling here. There's the warning for stalling, but we go off the, yep, time expires. So Nicholas Martin will go for fifth place points this afternoon for your Moravia Mohawks. And that was an entertaining match, even if it wasn't the result that we wanted, folks. That was a good match to watch. Good match earlier from Mason Dye. That was one of the most fun takedowns I've seen up here at this whole tournament, where it was like the guy that he was wrestling tried to jump over him, and like he was carrying a football and was trying to avoid a tackle.
And then there in the end, it's like, wait, is trying to wake him up.
That is right. Okay, what else do we got coming up for you here now, folks? We've got...
we should have Caleb Reeves of Synchrony coming up here shortly.
I believe that is about number 1360.
But you have, these matches are going so fast. We still have 138-pounders wrestling on mat number one, and we've got 195-pounders out here, so we've got a wide variety of weight classes right now. But stay tuned here. We've got Caleb Reeves, 220 pounds for Sigourney Kyoto, coming up. He's going to try to do what Mason Dye did, and that's going to be wrestle for third and fourth here in this next round.
Hey, guys, a quick thought on Nick Martin. You know, he's going to be going for fifth place later, but Nick is only the second wrestler in Mohawk history to be a four-time state qualifier, so regardless how it comes out, he's etched his name in stone there at Moravia High School as one of their best wrestlers of all time.
Absolutely, and a good kid, too. Good kid, too. Hey, want to thank all of our great sponsors bringing us this coverage for you. How about People State Bank? Let People State Bank, your locally owned bank, help you pin a low mortgage rate. People State Bank is proud to sponsor this live wrestling coverage on Thunder Country KIIC. People State Bank. People you know, people you trust. All right. Also, how about Jim and Charlie's, your local affiliated food store with a fresh cut meat counter. They're open 7 days a week from 7 to 10. And bring your empty cans and bottles back to Jim and Charlie's and get you a nickel back a piece. They're a proud sponsor of wrestling on KIIC.
You think they'll have that recipe on the fish brats?
Fish brats. I have not heard from Jim or Charlie this morning. That'd be Charlie's job. He is in charge of the brat making. So, Charlie, we're asking you to work on that fish brat. And I'll bet you if Charlie designs it, it'll be good enough that some big outfit like Kraft or Nestle or one of the ConAgras of the world will be looking for the recipe, and they'll make a million of them a day and get rich doing it.
Well, it was our idea, so we got to get a contract written up since we're amateurs here in the broadcast booth. Reality radio, bringing you reality radio.
Well, this is real. It's not fake, folks. This is real. We see it. We say it. We're here to entertain and to inform, and we do it as strict amateurs. Coach Kevin Cochran here right beside me. This has been a ton of fun, and this is a really fun round because these kids, they know that they're going to place, and the energy is here. They want to get points for their team. Unfortunately, usually we got a really tight team match, so there's some particular matchups where it's a team in second against a team in first or team in third against a team in second trying to move on up the ladder. But right now, this team scores, is especially for Class 3A, is pretty well wrapped up. We're going to bring you the Class 1A team results after this placement round as they are completed. Right now we're waiting for a 220-pounder to come out for Sigourney Chiodo, and I believe that'll be the next mat up. And that is Caleb Reeves. He is out on mat number one. And Reeves is going up against Alta Aurelia's Nick Gaius. And Nick Gaius has a 50-1 record as a junior. Reeves is 51-1. And we come out the gate, and it is Gaius working hard, and he jumps out, hits a throw, and puts Reeves on his back. It's going to be back points for Gaius. Gaius gets the back points, but Reeves rolls right through and gets a reversal. A reversal for Reeves, and Reeves gets the reversal. So the score is now going to be 5-2. 5-2. Reeves is covering Gaius now. No action here as we go to the edge of the mat. It's a 5-2 score. Caleb Reeves is covering Nicholas Gaius from Alta Aurelia. Boy, a couple of guys here I'd say were probably hoping that they would be in the semifinals or in the finals. We got neither one of these wrestlers lost coming into this tournament. Reeves is 51-1 and Gaius is 50-1. So one of these guys is going to have two losses when we get done. All right, we're off the mat out of bounds and we're going to come back to the center. We've got 48 seconds left in this first period of action, 49 seconds. Reeves covers Gaius, puts a crossbody in on the left-hand side. Now a stand-up by Gaius. Reeves gets out of position, has to get off the leg, and brings him back in a cradle. And it's going to be back points for Caleb Reeves. He's got an outside cradle locked up, and he's going to get three back points out of this, folks. It is a three-point cradle move for Caleb Reeves. He's going to tie it with this cradle right now. There are still 20 seconds to go. If he can just settle his hips and get shoulder contact against Gaius, he is going to pin him here. There are 18 seconds to go, and Gaius is stretched out. I'm looking at it with my binoculars, and Gaius's left shoulder is just up. The official is right on it with 10 seconds to go, and Reeves has to give it up as Gaius kicks out of the cradle, but it is a three-point near fall to tie this match at the conclusion of the first period. What a great period of wrestling for you folks here on 96.7. It is 220-pounder Caleb Reeves against a quality opponent. These two wrestlers are 101-2 with their records. Two losses against 101 wins. Reeves gets the choice, and he takes neutral, even though he got thrown to his back at the beginning of the first period. He likes his chances on his feet against Gaius. We are all knotted up 5-5 as we start on our feet in the second period. I want to thank Copeland Auto Body helping bring you this match along with Crazy Metal Art. And now here is a two-point takedown for Caleb Reeves. He gets a funky leg in on a shuck by, and he's in danger of getting reversed, but he's got the two-point takedown, and it is 7-5. Reeves on top, but there's the reversal that we were worried about. Nope, Reeves doesn't give it up. He puts him in a headlock, and he's going to get back points. It looked like Reeves was going to get reversed, and instead he gets the back points and gets the pin with a headlock. Caleb Reeves gets the pin for the Sigourney Chiodo team, and I would venture to say that that's probably the first time that kid from Alta Aurelia has been pinned in the last two or three years. He was undefeated coming into this state tournament, and he goes back-to-back losses here at the Wells Fargo Arena, and Caleb Reeves, a pinning machine. He was down 5-0, Joe Millage. Right out of the gate, he got thrown to his back, and he was not afraid. He came out, had his choice in the second period, and goes in the neutral position, takes him down, looked like he was going to get reversed, and somehow the kid from Alta Aurelia left an arm available for Caleb, and he just grabbed it and put him in a headlock.
I think his dad is the coach, and just got a big old high five there from Coach Reeves. And as they walk into the tunnel, I got the chance to interview him last year. He's got such a great, great attitude. I think Russ is following him down there in the tunnel and may be able to get Caleb on the air here for our listeners back in Sigourney, Chiodo. And how about a shout-out there from the Southern Iowa Technologies text line, 641-799-1437 for all of you Sigourney, Chiodo fans who just got to hear Joe Sinclair call a huge pin for Caleb Reeves. So a chance to get as high as third, right, Joe?
Absolutely. He will be wrestling for third and fourth points. The worst he'll do is that fourth-place medal. So I think we've got him in the tunnel.
You
go
bet.
Away, Russ.
All right, guys, I'm down here on the GNP insurance microphone here with Caleb Reeves. Caleb, you get down 5-0 to a guy that had no losses coming into the state tournament. What's going through your mind when that happened?
Well, the biggest thing is I know personally I think I should have been in the finals. I lost that match. So the biggest thing is to get third now. now and work as hard as I can to get there. The consolation finals, I got treated as if it's my finals.
Well, that's a great attitude, and it's a great comeback. You got him on his back there towards the end of the first period, and then it looked like you just weren't going to be denied. Get him right back on his back and get the pin in the quickly in the second period. Talk to me about the move that finished him off.
Well, it was definitely, you got to mentally break those kids. They're tough. They're physically tough. A lot of kids at 220 are just built. They're very, very strong. But if you break their mind, it makes the match so much easier.
Smart.
Right off the first injury time is when I knew he was broke and I just had to keep moving. Yeah, I got put to my back. It happens. But the biggest thing is going back and breaking his mind, so I end up pinning him myself.
All right, man. Congratulations. Good luck going for third place. Caleb Reeves, guys. Sigourney Keota, what a match there. Back to you guys.
Wow. I love that comment. I got put to my back. It happens.
I think he's got he might have a job up here in the booth in the future. Caleb Reeves helping us out maybe in the booth coming up. What a great match for Caleb Reeves. Joe, we've got a couple mats open here. It looks like we're waiting for the time clock to sort of expire or maybe reset here.
Actually, there'll just be a short break, and then we'll have our 2A wrestlers come out to compete in their place matches. And I believe that that break will be less than a couple of minutes. They'll just make sure that the last 285-pounder does get off the mat.
Well, we have a text here on the Southern Iowa Technologies text line coming in. And by the way, if you're the folks at Southern Iowa Technologies, quite a popular company if you're looking for security video, security cameras, video cameras for your home, business, or farm. Give Larry Shepard and his highly qualified crew. They work at some of the big companies like Cargill and John Deere and some of the other, I think even at the Des Moines Airport. Give Southern Iowa Technologies a call, and they can help you with all of your security camera needs to protect your livestock or your business or any of your assets. Hey, way to go, Mason and Caleb. So proud of you, Caleb, from Aunt Stephanie and Uncle Bruce. Aunt Stephanie and Uncle Bruce saying way to go, Mason and Caleb.
I'll tell you what, we've had a really good Class 1A placement session. A great win for Caleb Reeves there. Tough loss for Nicholas Martin, but I like his chances in that medal match to get those fifth place points for the Mohawks.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's where's the mindset, but you have both of the guys that are going to be wrestling for fifth and sixth are both coming off losses. You know, the guys that are going for third and fourth are both coming off wins. So it's interesting on how each individual wrestler tries to mentally get prepared for these matches, and I think it also depends on what their ultimate goal is.
Yeah.
You know, if they think, hey, I come up here to be a state champion and I'm going to be wrestling for fifth and sixth, maybe they don't have the mentality that I've got to go out and finish tough versus a kid that may be qualified and thinking, hey, I've kind of met my goal, I qualified, but now, you know what, I'm hungry and I'm going to go get more.
Yeah. And I like the comment from Caleb Reeves in his tunnel interview. You know, he knows that he didn't get screwed. We both agreed that it was a bad officiating on the stall call against Caleb Reeves that led to his loss in the quarterfinal round, and he said it in the tunnel. He goes, I think I should have been in the finals, and he's not going to be denied. I'd say when he takes the mat in his third place match that he'll be looking to pin his opponent for the Sigourney Keota team and be the third place medalist.
Hey, guys, if you could, I got Coach Darren Carson here in the tunnel. I want to visit with him real quick on the GMP wireless mic, but I want to comment a little bit first on Caleb Reeves. I've done a lot of interviews with a lot of kids over the years, and, man, I was with that young man and his poise, and I think he does have a future in it. Very polite kid, shook my hand afterwards. I was very impressed with that young man and his mindset. What a talented and a great young man. Darren Carson joins us now. Darren took the two Big Red wrestlers out for breakfast this morning as they get set for the finals, Matthew Lewis and Nathaniel Giovanna. Coach Carson, your thoughts on these two wrestlers and their mindset right now?
Well, they seem, we kind of went through this game plan this morning, the coaches, when we got up on, you know, because it's a long day for them to sit here, so we decided one of us would take them, so I took them out. There's a Perkins right down by our hotel, so they decided they wanted lunch, so they both had a sandwich and ate. They were ready to eat a little bit after that last weigh-in, but they were relaxed. You know, they were talking a little bit about their matches, their upcoming matches, and they were. It seemed like a good strategy. And then we just went back to the hotel for a little bit, and we just got back here, so they're getting ready to do a little drilling. get a sweat going before we head back out for the afternoon.
How much do you think it helps in a situation where you've got two kids in the finals that they can be there for each other rather than one going through this by himself, especially when it's two freshmen? Neither one of these kids, they've both had big matches in their life, but nothing like they're going to see tonight. How much does it help to have somebody there with you that's going through it?
I think that they are definitely feeding off each other. You know, Caden's a big part of that too, and Tiger and they're feeding off each other. So both pretty soft-spoken kids. But it's kind of nice to just sit down there with them, and they'll get to talking, and you just kind of keep that ear open, and they're kids. But, you know, I don't see the nerves. I think they've got some of that out of them. You know, we get out there, and they get in that march, and I don't know how that wouldn't get to anybody. But they're going to be ready to wrestle.
Speaking of the march, Chad Zamperl is a classmate of yours. He's going into the Hall of Fame tonight. How will that be for you? I know you guys are longtime friends.
Yeah, Chad was actually a year younger than me. Okay. But, you know, we grew up together, wrestled together, and Chad's a great guy. This is well-deserving for Chad. It'll be pretty cool to see him walking down there. I got here Wednesday program, and you've got three Centerville guys going to the Hall of Fame this year. It's pretty freaking awesome.
Well, and one of those kids, T.J. Siebold, you helped a lot. I know you were with the program some when he was here. I know that's going to be a special moment for you, too. Any chance that maybe a little water comes from Coach Carson's eyes before it's all said and done?
It's quite possible.
All right. Coach, thanks. Good luck tonight. I know it's an exciting day. Coach Carson's been with these two young men that are going to be in the finals tonight, Lewis and Genabana. Sounds like they're both very confident, both ready to go. Guys, back to you.
All right, Russ, thank you, and we'll bring you back here. We're getting ready to start the final round, and good thing you said something about Chad Zappa. We're going to bring him up here to the booth and interview Mr. Zappa. Had a chance to talk to him last night a little bit, and I think the best way to sum this thing up for Chad Zappa is this is long overdue. He's in the National Hall of Fame, and I don't know how you get put in that before you get put into the Iowa Wrestling Hall of Fame, but well-deserved, and it's a good honor, but I truly believe for him it's long overdue.
Well, he's going to be up here in a little bit for an interview. We expect him up here, the next 10, 15 minutes?
I'm hoping so. I told him the room number here. Hopefully he gets up here. I'm going to try to get Troy Seeley up here as well, the official.
It'll be all the way cool. Have the wrestling royalty for 2018 up here at Wells Fargo Arena in the broadcast booth here, KIIC 96.7. It's been a great tournament so far. We're going to have the Class 2A wrestlers come out here, and I think we're going to have probably, about a 3-4 minute break here? Maybe only a couple, but I think it'll give us a chance to send it back to the studio, and they can catch you up maybe on some news, some weather, and some valuable commercial announcements as we take this break between the Class 2A and 1A placement matches. Tell you what, we're not going to take it back. They're going to go into it right now. Right now, they are announcing the wrestlers, so we'll leave it right here, and we'll just give you an amateur commercial for these good sponsors. How about McGriff's of Fremont and New Sharon? For all your farm and home supplies, check out McGriff's in Fremont and New Sharon. They carry feed, seed, tools, paint, fencing supplies, clothing, and everything in between. McGriff's of Fremont and New Sharon. Just a short drive from your place. And also, how about our Blood Timeout sponsors? The Monroe County Hospitals and Clinics. They're the Blood Update.
And our Blood Music.
Our Blood Music is brought to you by Monroe County Hospitals and Clinics. And we are going to have Brock Beck from Grinnell out here in just a minute. He is going to be, I believe, competing on mat number, I believe, 8.
Speaking of Zapital, you're going to have Chad up here in a little bit. Has anybody seen Travis Zapital? He was with you guys last night, last I knew, and he's not here this morning. So
we lost track of him as we left the building last night.
Might still be in the parking lot. Somebody knows where Travis Zapital is. You can text us at the Southern Iowa Technology text line, 641-799-1437. And we want to thank Russ Okra for helping us out this morning, too. We want to give a shout-out to his internet company and The Pitch. They do a lot of live local sports, along with Mike O'Connor and Chad Lee and others. We want to thank Russ for helping us out this morning. Well, Joe, you got the binoculars on. You're zeroing in right now on some of these matches going on.
I got Brock Beck from Grinnell going right now. He is out there against Mount Vernon's Ryan Clark. Clark, a junior, 42-8, going up against Brock, a sophomore, 46-7. And right now, it is Clark in on a double leg against Beck. Beck reaches around behind, reaches over, and going to try to get a stalemate situation out of this. But a good job there by Clark trying to come out the back. Now, Clark grabs that ankle from the back, and we do get a stalemate. No, potentially, no, it's an illegal hold, 1.4. Who is that on? It is 1 point for Monticello, so I don't know what Brock Beck did there. It was in a stretched-out situation, and he called an illegal hold. It was in a scramble situation, and now we got some Monroe County Hospital blood time, and Brock Beck is bleeding from just above his eye, it looks like. So we'll take care of that blood right now, and they're counting down through the blood timeout, but Brock Beck gives up a point on an illegal hold here at 113 pounds in the metal placement match. Now the wrestlers are back on their feet. It was a good shot in there by Clark from Mount Vernon, and now a shot in there by Beck, but Beck left the arm a little bit too far out, and an underhook by Clark, and we go back to the center of the mat as they go off the mat.
We'll be keeping eyes open for Caden Kozlerich also. They are on 120 pounds. He'll be coming out at 126. The way they call these, they'll call the seventh place match first, and then the fifth place match, and then the third and fourth place match.
All right. And Beck is going for seventh place points?
Fifth and sixth.
Fifth and sixth. Okay, Brock Beck going for fifth place points here. This is the medals round in Class 2A. So climbing a little higher onto the podium, these guys will go. Got a couple other Southern Iowa contests going. Billy Towns' Grayson Kesterson's got a 2-0 lead on Kane Lunsman from Monticello. Also, we're watching Monticello wrestle here on mat 5. It is Ryan Clark against Brock Beck. Clark has got that 1 point on a penalty against Beck. And we go to the second period, and it'll be Clark in the down position, Beck covering. Clark's first move for Monticello is the stand-up, and he stands up and gets hand control, and Beck cuts him. So the score now 2-0. There's a duck under now by Clark, and Clark gets a duck under, spins behind, gets behind, and they're just at the edge of the mat, and Clark gets the two-point takedown as they go off the mat. 4-0 now for Ryan Clark from Mount Vernon, Brock Beck from Grinnell. That is right on the edge of our great Thunder Country coverage, folks. And we're going to have a pretty good little opportunity here for something famous to happen. And I'll bring you this match, and we'll keep it covered. But we're joined now in the broadcast booth by Wrestling Royalty. Here we are, Centerville's very own Chad Zappel. Chad, welcome to the 96.7 Sinclair Tractor broadcast booth. We're glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much. It's nice to be back in Iowa. I was hoping for it to be just a little bit warmer, but other than that, it's great to see some wrestling again.
Well, I hope you brought a lunchbox full of sunshine with you, because it's supposed to warm up to 45, and we'll get rid of some of this snow today.
Yeah, that's what we heard on the news this morning, but it doesn't seem like it's getting very close yet.
Hey, you were an upperclassman at Centerville High School when this kid beside me came through, and did you ever think that he'd amount to anything when he was a 98-pounder?
Hey, you know, we had a great group of wrestlers when we both of us came through there, and our lower weights were really tough. I mean, we had a lot of state qualifiers, a lot of state place winners, state champs. We really had a tough lower weights back then, and so it was great to have that kind of a room to train in every single day, because it's really what made all of us tough. So,
absolutely. Well, you kind of took tough to the next level. You were a state champion and three-time runner-up at NCAAs, and you're in the National Hall of Fame. Welcome to the Iowa Hall of Fame.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor. It's a great thing to have. And it's just really neat to come back and see the state wrestling tournament, and it's really incredible to come back here and not only see the state wrestling, but to see how big wrestling is and see it on the news. I mean, there's some great wrestling in California where I'm at now, but you'll never see anything on the news about wrestling out there. It's just, it gets lost in the shuffle, and that's just sad to see.
Too many people out there. But I tell you what, Chad Zappel, and folks, we are joined by Hall of Famer Chad Zappel from Centerville here in the Sinclair Tractor broadcast booth, and he is going into the Hall of Fame. There are 7 members of the Hall of Fame induction this year, 3 of them Centerville High School graduates. And Kevin Cochran, that's an impressive statistic, and we're glad to have Chad here.
Well, it is an impressive statistic, and like I've said the whole all along, the only thing about Chad going in this year is that it should have been about 10 years ago, long overdue, if you look at his resume and what he has accomplished. But, you know, I'm not the political guy to be on top of the Iowa High School Athletic Association to see who declares on who goes in and who's not. But, no, great accomplishment. Like I said, it's neat for me. As I stated the other day, you know, I got a coach, TJ, as he's going in. I was a classmate of Troy Seeley. And I just got to get beat on by Chad on a regular basis in practice. But like he said, that's what made us better. And we had the depth. We had 3-4 kids at every weight class, and even a JV team that would travel around the various tournaments. And you don't see that anywhere in the state anymore.
Not very much. And, Chad, you know, we got a lot of kids listening in here on 96.7 as we watch Brock Beck get his first point of the match. He's trailing now by a score of 4-1 in the third period for Grinnell. And there's a takedown for Clark. So it looks like Clark from Mount Vernon is going to advance here and get the 5th-place points. And Brock Beck from Grinnell will be your 6th-place finisher. But the kids listening right now, Chad Zappel, you've had a really good life. You've been very successful. You got a wife and a family. What would you tell these kids that are considering going out for wrestling in high school, what that will do for them as they go through life's difficulties? Because everybody that I've talked to has a story about what wrestling has done for them during life's difficulties.
You know, to me, I think that there's no better sport to teach you about how life works than wrestling. And one thing that I have always kind of said about all the kids that I grew up wrestling with, regardless of how far you end up wrestling or maybe what the your accolades are at the end of your career, wrestling teaches you a lot about discipline, about life, about getting up when you get knocked down. And like I said, there is no better teacher of just life in general than the sport of wrestling. It's truly an incredible sport. It's also a sport that when you, to this day, if I meet people anywhere across the country and they see my cauliflower ear, we start talking about wrestling. You know, it just, that's just the way it is. It's truly a family. And only people that have gone through it kind of understand that, and that's something that's really unique, I think. Not very many sports can say that.
Absolutely, and there for a while, we were told that the babies being born in Centerville, the boys came out with cauliflower ear out of the womb.
Yeah, it's really great. My wife and I have, you know, even traveled around the world, and one of the things that she never really understood much about wrestling being from, she traveled around a lot with her family and grew up on the East Coast, and we've been down in Mexico on vacation, and somebody saw my cauliflower ear. We started talking about Iowa wrestling, and she's like, wow, this is crazy.
and almost you can find a connection somewhere to somebody that you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, it's really incredible. It's a small world, and no matter where you're from, and like I said, it's really, truly a big wrestling family that goes around the world. So.
Well, speaking of around the world, we had wrestling royalty up here a couple years ago as Dan Gable when we were fighting to keep the wrestling in the Olympics. And during Dan's interview, he told me, he said, I'm more famous in Russia and Iran than I am in the United States. He goes, Russia and Iran wrestling is a really big deal. And that's kind of a pretty profound statement that, you know, the living king of wrestling is more famous in Iran than he is in the United
yeah.
States.
Yeah, it's really, and that's true. I believe it's the national sport in Iran, and it's something that's just, like I said, it's a really neat thing. And like I said, I have a lot of friends that they might have reached a lot of different levels in the sport of wrestling, but we still all take the same thing away from it. And I think that's just what's really, really incredible about the sport of wrestling.
That is absolutely a great sport. You obviously are interested in your alma mater, the Centerville squad coming down here. You've got a nephew that is a state champion, John Mullaney from Iowa City West, And anybody here that you're watching today in these medal matches?
Well, obviously, I definitely am watching the Centerville kids. So that's the big thing I really wanted to do. Obviously, that's my high school, so we got to stay up on that. So,
well, we're going to let you stay right here with us if you've got time. And Caden Cosler from Centerville is on the mat. He gets taken down here in the first period, just underway, against Philip Idy from Decorah, and he's down here on mat number four, and they go off the mat out of bounds, and we're going to reset it to center of the mat, and we'll let you call this match for us. Wrestling royalty up here, Chad Zappel calling Caden Kozrich's match here at 126 pounds, going for third place points. It's Caden Kozrich for the Centerville Big Reds.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I'm not don't do a lot of radio commentary, but I'll do my best here. You know, he's down 2-0 at the very beginning of the match here, but it's important for him just to kind of keep moving on the bottom, get out and score some points. And, you know, obviously, you know, ideally you want to be able to kind of try to control the tempo of the match. And so hopefully we can see an escape here. He's trying to get up to his feet, he's on his feet now. So hopefully we can he can keep moving and get an escape point here.
I always like to tell a wrestler that the best time to score is right after a score, and you just got to keep those moves coming, keep them coming, and the better the competition gets, the faster that you need to move.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's chain wrestling is important. He gets an escape there. He's got 2-1 now, so.
22 seconds left in the first period for Caden Kozrich, Centerville Big Reds. Want to thank the fine folks at Eastern Iowa Tire in Centerville, helping you keep your farm and car and truck on the road. Eastern Iowa Tire on Highway 5 in Centerville. Right now it's Caden Kozrich with a 2-1 disadvantage. His Decorah opponent, Philip Idy, is a senior. One loss in the quarterfinals here for Philip Idy on his senior campaign. Kozrich is just a sophomore. He's got a 42-6 record. Hey, as time expires in the first period, 2-1 the score.
Hey, Joe, you might want to keep an eye out on over Matt 5.
You know, I like what I've seen out of Caden this whole tournament. I think he's wrestled a lot more aggressive than when I watched him earlier in the season. It's like he's wrestling with more urgency. Like Chad said, you know, finding the way to score. And if you watch him in these flurries, he's constantly moving until something happens. So he's right back up here on his feet trying to get out and does get the escape. Tied up 2-2.
All right. The Sheraton Charger, Gabe Ripke, in his first period, gets the takedown and works a tilt for a three-point near fall. And we are just concluding the first period. And Gabe Ripke, in his third-place medal match, leads Chase Lunsman from Monticello 5-0. So I'll keep it with Gabe Ripke, and you keep it with Centerville, Caden Kozrich. And, Chad, you can watch either one you want.
I'm keeping an eye on the Centerville, Caden Kozrich. They're definitely feeling each other out on the feet here. And, you know, right now it's key that if he can get a takedown here to end up this second period or to at least pull ahead in the second period, that's going to be really big in the overall picture of this match. And he's trying to spin around behind him right now, and they go out of bounds.
And we've got Gabe Ripke gives up an escape to start the second period against Lunsman from Monticello. Score now 5-1. It's Lunsman in on a double leg, but unable to score here with a minute 25 to go in the third place medal match at 132 pounds, Class 2A.
All right, Kozrich back in some flurry action. Edie tries to get in on a leg here. Kozrich doing a nice job of coming off and gets a reshot in on a double leg and comes across, trying to find a way to walk up his back and cover and get his two. There's 40 seconds, and he does get the two right there. Nice job by Caden to stay with it to get the takedown. Now he leads by a score of 4-2 here at 126 pounds.
That's a two-point advantage for both Gabe Ripke and our very own Centerville Big Red, Caden Kozrich. It's 5-3, a takedown for Lunsman at Monticello at 132 pounds. And back to you guys at 126.
It looks like there's 15 seconds left in the match. Kozrich is still on top riding him, and he's doing a good job of holding and keeping him broke down. So hopefully he can finish out the period with that two-point advantage.
At 126 pounds, the wrestlers go off the mat, and it is going to be an escape for Gabe Ripke in a scramble situation. 6-3 now. Ripke from Sheraton on top of Lunsman from Monticello. Monticello, period. They have a whistle restart. Looks like you guys are going to have blood time out down there.
Blood time. So, but I just want to ask Chad a question here. Back there at the hotel, I